business time in the Premier League season for Luton Town as they travel to Selhurst Park to take on Crystal Palace on Saturday afternoon. Absolutely huge game of football. And to join me to preview that game is the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe, and we've got Town fan Mark Crowther back for this episode of the podcast. Gents, we're ready to be positive about a huge game of football.
They don't get any bigger than this, do they?
Yes, I'm positive now over the Villa. Over the Villa defeat, and the focus now is on points over plaudits.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll preview the game after this intro.
Can you believe it? We are Premier League! Yes!
I love this town. I love this town. I love this town. You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got this massive soul.
We're Luton people, and that's what we care about.
Hello everyone, welcome along to another episode of the Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. As I said before the intro, we are previewing huge game of football, Crystal Palace versus Luton, Saturday 3 p.m. If you don't have a ticket in the away end, it's already sold out, I'm afraid, and there is no UK TV available for this one, so you might need the radios to keep up to date with this game. Jimbo, we're yet to do it. Are we finally going to get our first Premier League double at Selhurst Park?
It has to be. Just has to be. These games are massive. These three games are massive. Well, I'd say it's probably the two games. The one against Palace and the one,
Saturday games.
The one against Forest are massive. I mean, Bournemouth is the one in hand, and if you can win that, happy days as well. But the Palace and Forest are within this little mini league, which seems to be getting smaller, of the teams you need to beat. And it's not been plain sailing against these teams we need to beat so far. I know beginning of the season we talked about must win games, but we're in this stage of the season now that you simply have to.
Yeah, not been plain sailing, Mark, but I think there's an awful lot of sort of recency bias in that with regards to the Sheffield United result, because generally you look at the teams that are around us, and probably the Burnley home game would allude to that as well, but we've drawn at Burnley recently. We won at Everton. We beat this lot in the home game. We drew at Nottingham Forest. We've not necessarily got the worst record amongst the teams that are around us. It's just that those two home defeats to Burnley and Sheffield United kind of stick in the memory more than the wins that we've got in that period. That win against Crystal Palace at home, we shouldn't forget that, because that should be the confidence to go to Selhurst Park, impose ourselves on the game and come away with a huge 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's with those other results that we've talked about, the Burnley and the Sheffield United, that this could have been a must-not-lose game, but they're 8 points ahead of us with our game in hand. If we win this, I know it's all ifs and buts, but we win this and then we win at Bournemouth and that gap's become two. And yes, they've got a new manager and there's that new manager bounce that hasn't probably had the impact that they'd hoped for, but it is a new manager all the same. No disrespect, but I'd rather Roy Hodgson was still there. But yeah, it's more of a must win than a must not lose.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is probably the first time we really would say that we have to win this game, and we'll get the thoughts of a few people that are going to be involved in the game as we go along in this podcast, James. But yeah, Mark made a good point. New manager, Oliver Glasner's there now. I think it was pretty well known he was going to take over in the summer, but then banners started appearing here, there and everywhere in Crystal Palace end and forced their hand a little bit, coupled with Roy's illness on the day that it was widely reported he was getting sacked anyway. We don't really know what to expect from this guy. There was a huge piece about him on Monday Night Football. They had Jesse Marsh there. I'm trying to think of the game that it was a couple of weeks ago. Everton against Crystal Palace, I think. And he kind of highlighted that this guy's going to play high intensity, high pressing, win the ball in the opposition half, and all of this fantastic razzmatazz. And then he kind of gave the butt. he hasn't got the players at Crystal Palace to do that. So it was a great piece of analysis, but a pointless piece of analysis if he hasn't got the people to do that. Since he took over, they beat 10-man Burnley 3-0, but I only saw reports and things because Luton were playing at the same time, and everyone sort of suggests that they were no better than Burnley until the man got sent off. And then they lost to Tottenham on Saturday again. Only saw it on Match of the Day because I was on my way to Kenilworth Road when they played. Eze scored a stunning free kick, and we'll come on to him shortly. But they were well beaten in the end by Tottenham. So it's hard to know really what to make of Palace under this guy. But it hasn't been that immediate sort of leap up in form, really. Or to the naked eye, it doesn't appear to be anyway.
Yeah, and hopefully that doesn't continue either at their place. I watched the highlights, obviously, against Spurs, and having been worried with about 15 minutes to go at the end of that game, sitting in the Luton press room, that Crystal Palace were going to pull off a bit of a shock. And the one thing that did hearten me about the way that Spurs went about that, albeit they've got some stunning players that scored the goals, a lot of it was down the flanks. And if Luton can get that working, then that could play into Luton's hands, really. So let's hope that that we need something to go right, don't we? So let's hope that that does.
Yeah, Timo Werner scored one of those goals, and I thought he was devoid of scoring goals, that bloke. So
well, he missed the usual Harry Cornick style run in and goal from 30 yards out and couldn't get around the keeper, but then he scored a tap in.
He did, yeah. So well done for that. Hopefully that's your goal for the rest of the season, because we still got to go to Tottenham. And yeah, kind of go from there. Any ideas what we can expect from this new version of Crystal Palace, Mark? I mean, all we've heard about Crystal Palace is that Eberechi Eze this, Michael Olise that. We're only going to have to deal with 50% of that combination. So any idea what we're going to be coming into?
I mean, with a new manager and after the transfer window closed, he's got to work with what he's got. And it's trying to get his style and his point over to the players and to the team. And haven't had that massive bounce. I mean, the game before, he was at the game for the Everton game, and that was just a poor game and two poor sides. I mean, their home record isn't brilliant, as you would expect for a team down there. I think they've won 4 and lost 6, so they don't have that aura of that home crowd. And we've got quite a good record. I think we've only lost 1 out of the last 10 visits there, so that's buoying me with a bit of confidence. But like we've said before, it's about staying in the game and quietening the crowd. What you try and do with any away game is just trying to influence the game, and I'm confident we can get a result.
Yeah, I remember the game I remember at Selhurst Park is the opening day of the 2005-2006 season. We just won promotion from League One under Mike Neil. Went there, Simon Jordan wrote some derogatory remark in the programme notes, which obviously got pinned on the dressing room wall. Steve Howard and Ahmet Berkovic, I think it was, scored the two goals that day. And the next thing you know, this little old Luton who'd had the piss taken out of them in the programme had strolled off with 3 points against former Premier League Crystal Palace. So if we can have that, Simon Jordan, if you fancy writing a programme column for this game, that would be mighty handy. Of course, he's nothing to do with Crystal Palace now. He just mouths off about their owner on TalkSport every other morning. Eze, I thought we'd got rid of this bloke when he went to the Premier League, because he just turns into peak whoever you want is your favourite player whenever he plays us, doesn't he? That QPR afternoon still haunts the living daylights out of me a few seasons ago when they were 3-0 up in about 5 minutes, and every single time he scores against us, doesn't he? Or if he doesn't score against us, he makes a major contribution. Thankfully, though, didn't score against us at home. Can we keep him quiet away?
No. I don't think they will, because I don't think Luton are capable of keeping a clean sheet. It's just whether Luton can outscore them. So, no, he's a very, very good player. He's very dangerous. And every time we've highlighted one of these in recent weeks, they've gone out there and done something damaging. So I'm comfortable with him doing one damaging thing, as long as Luton can do two or three damaging things.
Yeah, he's a damn good player, isn't he? There's an awful lot of people that potentially should be on the plane to the Euros in the summer. Obviously, we've got Ross Barkley, who should be there. Eze would be another one in the conversation, Mark. Clearly, we don't want to be giving no free kicks away around the penalty box, because we saw him stick one in the top bin against Tottenham.
Maybe that's his quota for the season.
I hope so. I do hope so, yeah. But the key to success in this game is keeping him as quiet as possible.
Yeah, and we know we've got injury worries at the back, and I think that's why it's really important. Like, if we can press forward and we can do the pressing, then that will limit his impact on the game. If he's having to do his track back and try and cover, then it's almost a case of get the pressing in and limit his ability to influence the game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I should just say, if you're picking up some background noise, there is an entertainer on downstairs, and we're obviously recording this whilst that's going on. We'll do our best to dampen it down, but he's particularly
strangling the life out of a cat, mate.
Well, I mean, I was trying to be more diplomatic than that, but yeah, no, unfortunately, that's exactly what he's doing. He's murdering an awful lot of classic songs, and yeah, we'll try and get rid of it, but if we don't, we apologise for that. So that's Eze. There's no Michael Olise. That's a right result, because he's obviously scored that absolute worldie at Kenilworth Road. And, you know, we've just dealt with Leon Bailey pretty well, actually. We didn't really sort of talk too much about him in the Villa podcast earlier in the week. So the fact that we haven't got to deal with him is a help. Really and truly, there isn't a huge sort of queue of top class sort of huge dangers in light of the comparison to the ones that we've recently come up against. I guess the one that you'd look at may be joint top scorer Odson Edouard, but again, I mean, largely anonymous at Kenilworth Road.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this doesn't come back to bite me, but he strikes me as somebody who blows hot and cold and mostly cold, and hopefully that stays pretty frigid for the visit down to Sellers Park. But, you know, he scored six, so he's a danger. He's a big old bloke as well. So not as massive as Mateta from memory when it came down to Crystal Palace. The bloke was huge. But, you know, if he's their joint top goal scorer, then you've got to keep tabs on him. It's going to be tight, isn't it? So I think Luton can deal with him. But it really, really does depend on who's going to be in that back line, doesn't it? And it's just going to be a physical game. I think even with or without Eze, I think that's what they'll bring to the table, and you've got to match up to it.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair enough. Hard to pick out a third threat, really, Mark, apart from Sam Johnstone and his knee whenever it's anywhere near Jordan Clark's head. That's a comment about his sort of thuggery at West Brom, for those that are unsure where I'm coming from. But what I do have a mate who is a huge Blackburn fan, and he was quite keen on Adam Wharton, who they signed for something like 20 million quid in January. So if a club like Crystal Palace, again, no disrespect, spending 20 million on a player, they must really like him. So I'm guessing he's someone in the centre of the park that could be dangerous. So we could maybe do with Barkley sort of dominating him rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and we don't know who's how far away the likes of Elijah or the Conger are, and whether they can influence the game or not. So hopefully they'll be back, but I think the game's going to be influence in the middle of the park, and how Barkley can just like pull the strings and try and get Doherty into the game, and just how we can influence the game, really, because it is going to be a physical game. It's going to be got to impress on our pressing and the high intensity, just to try and influence the game, really.
Yep, we do. Let's bring it back to Luton then. James, obviously we're doing this before Rob's pre-match press conference. You will hear from Rob in a moment, but that's some comments we got from him after the game against Aston Villa at the weekend. So we don't know exactly how everyone is sort of fitness-wise, but I think we're working along the assumption that Omari Bell won't be fit, but maybe we might see Sambi Lokonga and Elijah Adebayo in some guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've been prematurely excited by some of these videos that have come out of things happening, you know, of players coming back from injury and it not being quite as soon as we hoped. If I see them on the bench, I'll be delighted. If I see them in the starting lineup, I'll be ecstatic. But I'm kind of not expecting either, just to not get my hopes up. But there's no doubt about it, with Sam being the centre of the park, they're in a different prospect. They control a game a lot more. And with Elijah up top, they're a lot more of a threat. It's just logical, isn't it? Elijah's been on fire, and we all hope that Luton and Arsenal can come to some sort of agreement over Sambi somehow, if ever that was to be the case, because he's an absolutely belting player and he's sort of flying under the radar almost because of Barkley's form. But both of those would be great. I mean, something's got to give sooner or later. We can't keep having game after game of more people dropping like flies. It'd be nice if some people came back into the fray, wouldn't it?
I wondered where you was going with premature excitement then. I didn't think we were going to be talking about that on this podcast, and then ecstatic, and but you kept it on track. Well done. It would be fantastic to have Sambi and Elijah back, wouldn't it, Mark? Particularly Sambi, he was on loan there last season. He'll know an awful lot about Crystal Palace and this Crystal Palace team. So to have him involved would be probably more important, actually, than it might be any other game.
And you also got to take into account that because of the injuries, we're almost forced to sort of play, whereas Rob would like to rest people. And the example is Villa. He tried to rest Chio, and that lasted 5 minutes. So it's asking the players to keep putting in the big shifts. And I know we've got a gap now, and he's got time to sort of try and get people back. But it's not been as flexible, as fluid with the squad as he would like, just purely because of the injuries. Maybe Pelle will have more of a role on Saturday, just in view of that the game will be won and lost in the midfield.
Yeah, it does look like that is the case. Another person who knows Sellers Park rather well is Andros Townsend. Started the game against Aston Villa, went off after about 55 minutes. I wouldn't think he's got a point to prove per se. I don't think he left there in negative terms, and he had a good spell of his career there. But players always like to just remind their old club what they're missing, don't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind one of these 35-yard Andros Townsend specials that he's been attempting, hasn't quite nailed yet. But yeah, I mean, he's had to really bide his time on the bench for a little while, and ever since really he's got his contract, that's been the case. And he strikes me as a player that has to play regularly to have a really important impact. And maybe now is the time because of the amount of injuries we've got. But, you know, he does provide a lot of running up top as a sort of first line of defence. So that could be useful. I mean, we're sort of missing the work of Jacob Brown in that regard. And obviously Elijah does it as well. But we're not going to see Brown anytime soon. And we've just spoken about Eli. So, I think... he's got this Premier League experience as well that is going to be so crucial in sort of, it's going to be a very intense, pressurised game, and he's seen it and done it, hasn't he? So if he can come in and add some calm almost you want to sort of quiet the Selhurst Park crowd. I've been there a number of times, not for Luton games. And I've always been impressed by their crowd. They're very vociferous. I don't know whether they're quite like that at the moment. Maybe they are because they've got rid of Roy Hodgson and they've got a new sort of dawn almost. But I think that strikes me as one thing that you really have to do at Crystal Palace, because they are quite noisy from the experience I've had there. So I've got a lot of... apart from this game, I've got a lot of time for them, really. And also when I was a younger boy and played for Lucy Broncos, we had a Crystal Palace kit, so I've got a lot of time for that. And also, hopefully, they get no joy whatsoever. But it is going to be a sort of, it feels like it's going to be a bit of a febrile atmosphere. So anything that Luton can do to quell that in the first instance, as we've seen when teams have come to Kenilworth Road and cut the atmosphere dead by a goal, or even the way West Ham did it, which was just to bore the arse off everybody. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, hopefully they're as good as your Lucy Broncos side, and we'll be laughing. One other person who might have more of an impact than he's had in the last two games, Mark, is Daiki Hashioka. He looked really, really good, as we alluded to in the Villa Review podcast. And in light of the fact that we don't think Amari Bell is going to be fit for this game, you would imagine somewhere along the line, whether it be at centre-back or at right-wing-back, he's going to have an enhanced role to play in this game.
I can see him starting at centre-back the way that we finished against Villa. I don't want to see Doherty in a central defensive position. Thank you.
I think that makes three of us at least.
we want to sort of play to our strengths. We want to use the creativity of Alfie. You can't not be impressed by his two performances against two top sides. So I see him starting as one of the central defenders. And then I think it also worked well with Kabori and with Chio. Like I said, I think if we can play our pressing game and then try and neutralise their strengths, which is easy, then that will go a long way to us getting a result.
Yeah. Eze as in the footballer, not easy as in piece of cake. Just before we get pelters, because I know how these online things work, we're not saying this will be easy. We're not falling into that trap whatsoever.
I've buttered them up enough, and I so they can give us a break.
Yeah, absolutely. You have done. Chio's going to start, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to start. If there's going to be... you just saw against the second half against Aston Villa and the way that the shackles were taken off almost him and Doughty, and how much that led to Luton being more positive and being more on the front foot. I mean, a lot of it was down Kabore's side as well, and he had a lot of role to play. But Hashioka's influence in firstly providing a bit of calm, but also giving those two players the license to do what they're supposed to be doing, which is attack people and run at them and cross and cause all sorts of havoc, then yeah, it's got to play. I mean, I know he's rested to try and preserve him a little bit. I presume that's what it was for against Villa, but needs must at the moment.
Yeah, if you're playing a must-win game and Chio Ogbeni is sat on the bench, you're kind of wondering what it's all about. If Chio doesn't replace Issa Kabore, just remember Issa, he's behind you at that back post for 95 minutes, or if the home game's anything to go by, 115 minutes, keep focused on that back post. This is a huge game. We can't get away from it. We've said it a few times in this podcast. Let's hear from two people who pretty much confirmed that, starting with the boss, Rob Edwards.
They're all important. I know you're right. You're obviously right in and around us. They're all huge, aren't they? Today was an opportunity for us to get something. And I think you'll all agree that we could easily have, it wasn't easy, but we could have against the top team in Aston Villa. So we believe that we can get points in the game coming up, but every game in the Premier League is difficult, brings its own different challenges, different pressures. And just because now we're playing teams around us doesn't mean we're automatically going to pick them up. But the pressure certainly builds, the more times that you don't pick results up. So we're going to have to pick ourselves up, which we will. Have a really good week and attack the next game, and just that's all we can do.
That was obviously in Rob's post-match press conference after the Villa game. So if you heard that journalist with an exceptionally loud keyboard on his laptop, we do apologise.
Wasn't me.
For that, either that or he was bashing the hell out of them keys and they obviously done something to him. That was Rob's view. Let's get the view of the skipper next. Carlton Morris gives his thoughts ahead of this game.
Yeah, they're big games. Every game's a big game. Every point's a big point, but we'll focus on the next game at hand every time and, take it one game at a time. And, you know, and we know we're capable of winning in every game that we've got remaining this season. It's going to take every member in our squad. It's going to take 110% effort, hard work and determination. But, you know, that's what we've got and that's what we'll give every game.
Yep. And that's almost a guarantee, isn't it, with this side, that they're going to give 110% and they'll never lose on work rate or commitment or desire or anything like that. Let's focus a little bit on how we can hurt this Crystal Palace side then, gents, before we hear from two other players that we believe will be involved on Saturday. I guess the first way that we can hurt this side, there's no Mark Gahey for Crystal Palace now. He's done for the season. He's just had operation on his knee. He's a huge part of their centre of their defence. He potentially could have been going to the Euros with England. He's that good. So there's a hole in their in the centre of their defence. And Tottenham exploited that, didn't they, on Saturday? They got it wide, got some balls in the box and had some joy. Well, that's exactly what Luton like doing. So if Carlton Morris can stay away from Joachim Andersen, who is actually a really, really good defender, I've rated him for a long time. If Morris can get on the other one, which I think is Chris Richards, American international, not quite as good perhaps, then we could see Morris extending this scoring spree that you quite rightly highlighted after the Aston Villa game.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be in the mix if Luton are going to do well, really, because he's the one scoring the goals at the moment. I mean, there are other players that it's being shared around, but he's the one in goal scoring form and getting in the positions to score. You know, arguably should have had more against Aston Villa, but he was there in the right positions when previously, when he was struggling earlier in the season, he wasn't. So, you know, he was leading the line very well. And yeah, I think he is a handful when he's on form, you know, and he is. So whoever he comes up against will be occupied, and then it's whoever can get close enough to him to support. You know, against Villa, Chong was doing a good job of that. Clark too. But, you know, that has been a positive thing from Luton's attacking play, particularly from the early part of the season as well. There's not this gaping chasm between the midfield and the forward line, and that helps keep them on. If they're on top like they were against Villa in the second half, it helps keep them on there, because there's always a ball to a man to play off to and run on. So hopefully Carlton's got an eye for goal at Selhurst Park, because I don't think we could be wasting him many chances. If we get them, I don't think there's going to be that many. So when they do come, if considering we haven't been that ruthless, got to be this time.
Yeah, the one sort of negative to Michael Olise not playing, Mark, is that they're probably going to have Jordan Ayew down that right-hand side, our left-hand side, and he probably does a bit more of the defensive work than what Olise does. So getting Alfie Doughty in the game could be a bit more of an issue. So maybe for this game we need to go in the same way that we did against Aston Villa and focus our attention down the right-hand side.
Yeah, but I don't think Ayew will... it doesn't normally last full 90-100 minutes. So if he starts, then like I've said, the main thing is that we stay in the game, and then we can influence the game more with the substitutions. So I'm not worried about us creating. I mean, we're creating opportunities, our pressing, our intensity. If you look, there's goals across the team: Barkley, Clicker, Carlton Morris. We've got goals in the team. It's more the defensive duties and the concentration to sort of hopefully keep our first away clean sheet of the season. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that
was ambitious.
It is, but bloody hell, that would be a nice time to do it, that's for sure. And the other area where I'm really confident that we're going to get in here, James, is their defensive midfielder, Decore, was injured quite seriously at our place, wasn't he? Hasn't been seen since and still isn't fit. Therefore, they've no natural defensive midfielder. Therefore, those two that play in behind the one aren't going to have that shield in front of the defence to block them. So whether it's Chong and Townsend, Chong and Clark, if Sambi's fit, Chong and whoever it will be, because I think it will be Chong after he scored in the last game.
I don't know. I saw him limping through the mix zone after Aston Villa, so hopefully he's all right. He took a pretty
He did go off, didn't he, towards the end, actually, to be fair. Well, whoever it is, those two behind Morris, presumably it'll be Morris up front. That's obviously if it's not Elijah up front. Whoever those two are, they're going to be focal to this because they can hold the ball up. They can feed Morris, they can feed the wider players, they can feed Barkley, but also they should be able to get at this defence themselves with no natural defensive midfielder. We saw that in the second half against Villa. Their natural defensive midfielder, Kamara, he's out, and we had free rein at their back four, really. That's got to be the way again here. Take advantage of the fact that Decore's injured.
Yeah, and it's been such a crucial part of Luton's formation change since that Brentford game. The two behind the striker have been absolutely crucial. I mean, Morris was playing that role and now he's more of the front man. But the people that have come in, and I hope Chong plays, and it wasn't bad, but it looked like one of those. It could be like a bruise, a really hefty one, because he was clearing the ball, player came in and he kicked the player's foot and obviously had to go off against Aston Villa, and he looked in some distress as he walked past me in the mix zone.
That was just him walking past you.
Could be. I was mithering him for an interview, but he was in a bit of pain. But so if it's not him, then Luton do have options there, like you say. Clark and Townsend can do it.
Woodrow.
To a lesser degree, I would say, really, at the moment. We'll see on that. But it's not really in the goal scoring stakes that we have much of an issue at the moment. I hope it continues, by the way. I mean, 14 straight Premier League games is a remarkable return for scoring for a newly promoted club. And that's why I think all the eggs have been put in the basket of the attacking side of it to go and score more goals than the rest, because I hope Mark's correct and we get a clean sheet. But I've long since cancelled that thought out and banking on a shutout.
I've not actually checked this out myself, but I'm sure I saw on television it's only Liverpool who've scored in more consecutive games than Luton on this run. I don't know if it's right or not, and if it's not, blame Sky TV, not me. Let's hear from a couple more people who are going to be heavily involved in this game, or at least we think they're going to be heavily involved. We'll start with Reece Burke.
Palace next. There's some big games. Palace, Bournemouth and Forest, massive games now, aren't there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The next few games are big, and I think we know that, so hopefully that gives us a big boost, and obviously the lads come out firing straight away. We'll start the game is obviously a lot better than we did today.
On the other side, on the attacking side, that's 14 straight games in Premier League you've scored goals, so there's threat there when you go forward. So even when you go down to Palace, you'd be hoping to score against them, and you've got to win, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we've got better as the season's gone on as a team and as a threat, and I think everybody can see that. We're still improving, and as you say, we're still getting better. So yeah, nice. I think the lads will be really positive going into them games. It's not like we're on the back foot. We're front footed, we're brave. We go out and we play well.
Yeah, that's Reece Burke, who's going to be influential in getting that clean sheet that Mark thinks that we might be able to get in this game. And influential in potentially scoring the goals will be Jordan Clark. Let's hear from him now.
You can obviously sort of look at two ways, and sort of missed out on gaining a point on obviously the other teams, or you can be a bit fortunate in the fact that they've lost and we've lost as well. But you're still in the same place. But it's just one of them. We've just got to focus on next week now. On Monday morning when we're in, we'll iron a few things out and go through where we need to improve.
Obviously, you scored two goals in the week, FA Cup, admittedly. They've now scored 14. Times straight times in the Premier League, which is was a record a couple of games back for a newly promoted side. But when you're considering this three game block, you can go to Palace knowing that you've got goals in you, can't you?
We can, yeah. And obviously Elijah's a big miss at the minute, because he was in a good form, and he was banging goals in for fun. And like I said, yeah, it's a massive three game week coming up now. We've got to get a few wins on the board because, like I said, the games are running out and we want to be in this league, and we feel like we're good enough to be in this league, you know. So got obviously a few injuries mounting up at the minute, but obviously no excuses, you know. We've got a good squad which we've got to use at the minute, but hopefully a couple back for next week, and we need to go there and we need to get 3 points because, like I said, it's a massive game.
I suppose the second half showed that despite the injuries, you can still compete.
Yes, that's the good thing about our squad. We know anyone who can come in can, it's they can obviously fill the void and they can step up and play because we see it training every day, you know. So there's nothing, we're not worried about that. It's just obviously when you sort of get a settled side, it sort of disrupts it a little bit, but we just got to keep going, you know. We can't feel sorry for ourselves now. We've got to really dig in, stick together as a team and a group, and obviously come up with a game plan for next week and take the second half up, which was really good tonight, into next week.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, so that's four different people all highlighting how big this game is, but there's a confidence within this squad that they can put defeats behind them and build on the positives from the last game, and hopefully we see them all at Selhurst Park. We will finish this podcast, as we always do, with our score predictions for this game. Mark, you're our guest. How does Crystal Palace versus Luton Town finish?
Same way the home game went, a 2-1 win.
Very, very solid answer. I was expecting a clean sheet, actually, as you highlighted it. But
as much as I've talked about us keeping a clean sheet, I'm just not that brave at the moment to go for the clean sheet this week. It's coming, though, but I'll take any win.
Absolutely, yeah. Crystal Palace with Luton. James, how does it end?
I'm with Mark. Yeah, 2-1. But I think Luton have to get the first goal. I think that they'll peg Luton back, and then Luton will get a winner. But it's going to be very tight. There's not going to be many chances. There might just be three goals.
Well, that's not very good, because that's exactly what I was going to go for as well. But I'm not completing a clean sweep. In light of the fact that the home game had, 13 minutes of injury time at the end, maybe we can go on the counter-attack and get a third one this time. 3-1 to Luton instead of 2-1, albeit it would have been 2-1 had these two not beaten me to it. I guess that's the problem when I let them go first. Good news is you'll be able to watch Gladiators this week.
Yeah. An awful lot of people agreeing with you that Ross Barkley looks like Legend from Gladiators, so he must be up under something. I hadn't twigged that at all, but now I can't not see it.
Exactly. Once you've seen it, you cannot not see it. Ross Barkley is Legend. Mark, before we go, we've got you on this podcast not just to talk about football. It's been great to talk about football, but this is an away game at Crystal Palace, and an away game means that you get on your bike, not in a derogatory term, but literally you get on your bike and you cycle to this game. And you know, you did this in the Championship, you're now doing it in the Premier League. Just talk us through what it is that you're doing, why you're doing it.
So this is my Premier Pedal Challenge. This is my last one. I promise it is. You can blame Jordan Clark. He told me that I should do it. So, but no, I'm basically sort of supporting some local charities that just sort of with Luton getting in the Premier League. And there's a lot of fantastic work that a lot of the charities do in the community. And Nowhere Enterprise do a lot for the homeless and disadvantaged. Keach Hospice, who do unbelievable work for people with life-limiting illnesses. One close to my heart is Mind, the BLMK, with my own challenges with mental health. They do a lot with crisis cafes, and the whole message I try and share is that no one should struggle with mental health issues alone. There is help and support available for anybody. And as it's my last one, I'm continuing my support for prostate cancer, as I have done on all of them. Obviously, we know Mick's story, and I'm of that age where I'm that at-risk age. So just trying to raise money for all those four charities. So this is my Premier Pedal Challenge 14, I think. Yes, it's 14. So far I've raised £4,345, hoping to get to £5,000. So it's after having Newcastle, Liverpool, Burnley, it's a little bit shorter. It's about 52 miles. So I'll be setting off from Kenilworth Road at 9 o'clock on Saturday and getting into London. And the Crystal Palace Supporters Trust, they've been brilliant. They're supporting it. So helping to raise awareness. So a shorter day, but navigating my way through London.
And you have to brave Croydon and also, yeah. Sorry.
That's the Croydon massive that are coming for us. Come for him, not him. That's my message. Yeah, brilliant challenge that you do, Mark. Obviously, successfully completed the championship one. And it must be nice to have just one that you can do in one day this time, as opposed to those countless trips to Lancashire that we've had. In recent times. Yeah, four great charities there. If you can support Mark with his fundraising efforts, please do so. And you'll find the link to that, to his donation page where you've watched this video, or you can grab it. He regularly updates his challenge on his Twitter channel, X channel, whatever you want to call it. Don't call it X, call it Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Mark?
At MarkCrowther66.
Give him a follow, and more importantly, if you can afford to, please give him a donation. He cycles to every single Premier League game. And a shout out to Bobbers Travel, who kindly spring Mark and his bike home and don't make him cycle all the way back from these games, because that would just be extreme.
I honestly couldn't manage this without the Bobbers Travel Club getting me home, and that they've supported me on all of my challenges. So and they do so much. They raise so much money. They do football cards and raffles on the coaches. They're just been incredible. And like I said, I wouldn't be able to do it without them. But yeah, really, all the donations have just been incredible. And just thank you, everyone that supported me through the season.
Don't you get any ideas about telling me I've got to do any of these challenges or anything like that? Not happening. Unless you're doing it as well.
I get a sweat on thinking about a bike, mate.
Absolutely.
Maybe we could do something for the last one to West Ham.
I'll take my bike on the train with me if that's any use. All the very best, though, for Saturday, Mark, and indeed the games to come. Thankfully, with the exception of Manchester City, they're generally a bit more on the local side now, aren't they? We've broken the back of most of those long-distance ones. So, fantastic thing that you're doing. And as I say, if you can support Mark in any way, please, please do so. Four great causes, and they all need all the help that they can get. That's it for this episode of the podcast. 2-2-1s and a 3-1 on our score predictions. What are your score prediction? Let us know. A bit more time for this one because there's no midweek game or anything. We've got this out nice and early. So give us your score predictions, and if you get it right, we will give you a shout out in the review podcast, which will be out normal time next week. There were no correct scores, surprisingly no correct scores actually, for the Aston Villa game, because 3-2 was a popular score, but just the other way. There were lots of 2-2s. So if Issa had woke up at the back stick, there'd have been lots of shout outs. So blame him, not us. But yeah, give us your correct scores, and if you get it right, we will give you a shout out. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast this week, Mark. We've really appreciated it. As I say, best of luck with your efforts, both to Crystal Palace and that incredible effort that you're doing for Bournemouth next week as well. Thanks to James for keeping me company, and to you for also watching or listening, however you've consumed this podcast. That is it then for this episode. Thanks very much to the Hightown Club for hosting the studio, to Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music, and to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. If you have a ticket in the away end at Selhurst Park on Saturday, be as loud and as proud as you possibly be. The boys need all of our support for what is an absolutely massive game of football. 90 minutes non-stop singing, please, and I'm sure the lads can get the job done. Until next time, from the three of us, come on, you Hatters.
I love this town. You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're Luton people, and that's what we care about.